What up, what up, what up? Ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. I am the host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's very own Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 327, episode 327 of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. This episode here, this one was a long time coming. I've had a few people hit me up and ask me, yo, when you giving the recap? Yo, why you ain't been recording? Why you ain't been recording? And I told them the same thing. I was waiting for March Madness. I was waiting for the NCAA tournament to be fully done before I can give a full recap. But I'm going to be perfectly honest. I'm going to keep it all the way tall. The majority of this episode is going to be about the women's tournament. Like, I'm not even going to hold you. Like, I'm not going to hold you at all. That's what I'm majority going to be talking about, because the guys I watched here and there, but for the most part, the majority of my attention was towards those women. Because, again, I've been saying it for the last 3 years. Women's college basketball has been the main attraction. And what I found so funny is so many people I know, so many people, males, of course, got love for them and everything. So many of them used to dog women's college basketball. Used to dog it. Who was watching it this year? Those same motherfuckers. So I just say you're welcome, because now y'all finally jumped on board to what I've been saying for the past 3 years. And we was in for a treat. We was very much in for a treat. But let's just get the elephant in the room out the way. Congratulations to the men UConn Huskies. Back-to-back national champions. They won their second straight national title on Monday, beating Purdue. They're the first team since the Florida Gators, I think in 06 and 07, to go back-to-back years of winning national championships. So I definitely want to shout them out. Again, I watched part of the tournament. I didn't watch it all the way. But I do want to say congratulations to the University of Connecticut. Listen, UConn right now in total has 17 national championships. If you include what the women have done, and if you include what the men have done. To the point where, with them winning this championship, people are now calling UConn the capital of basketball. I mean, I don't have the objection. Just look at what they've been doing. On the women's side, they got 11. And on the guys, they got 6. And this is another nugget for you. Aside from that one loss in 2020 to Dawn Staley in South Carolina, not 2020, 2021, the UConn Huskies, both for programs, only have one loss in the national title game. See, Geno had a nice run where he was 11-0 until he got that loss in 2021 to Dawn Staley. The men UConn Huskies have been to the national title game 6 times, and they've never lost. They've never lost. They've been there 6 times, and when they've got to that big dance, they are the ones holding the trophy at the end. So, I mean, at this point, when we're talking about college basketball dominance, which program is the dominant program? We can't argue right now. It's looking like UConn as a whole is the capital of college basketball. It just is. Now, if we're doing it separately, Right now, at this point, I don't know if I would call UConn the capital. They haven't won lately. It's looking like South Carolina, but I'm about to get to that in a few. But as a whole, oh yeah, it's definitely Storrs, Connecticut. For sure, for sure. So again, congratulations to the men UConn Huskies on winning the national championship, making that 6 in total for the men. So definitely want to congratulate them on that. I do want to give a shout out to North Carolina State, the North Carolina State Wolfpack. I want to give a shout out to both North Carolina State Wolfpacks, the men and the women, because both programs made the Final Four. Now, if you've been following college basketball all season, or probably before it even started, I don't think anybody would have thought that both North Carolina States, let alone one of them, would have made the Final Four. If you thought that before the season started, if you predicted that yourself and said that, kudos to you. But if you said that during the season and said that they were going to the Final Four, you're fooling yourself, because nobody expected that. But I definitely want to give them props. Both programs. You got to give them their absolute respect. You got to do it. Unfortunately, they both lost. The men lost to Purdue, which I predicted. I said that their run would be over. And then North Carolina State on the women's side lost to South Carolina. And I definitely predicted that was going to happen. Like, I knew their run was going to end too. But definitely salute to both programs. Both programs. North Carolina State, they got a charismatic guy. DJ Burns Jr. I watched him a lot in this tournament. And he definitely reminded me of a young Zach Randolph. And then his personality just went through the roof. I think that's what made North Carolina State even more likable, because of his personality. Because think, they had to basically win out the ACC tournament to get in the tournament. It wasn't a sure thing they was going to be in the tournament. They was one of those last four teams, you could say, when the conference tournament started. So for them to go on the run that they did, win, you know what I'm saying, win the ACC tournament, then make the NCAA tournament and make it all the way to the Final Four, got to give them their props. You have got to give them their props. The same thing with the women. I just felt like their time was going to end when they played South Carolina. You know, some people thought, oh, it's not going to be an easy one for South Carolina. 78-59, to tell you otherwise. You know, so I definitely want to salute both North Carolina State Wolfpack programs. Very proud of both of them. Very proud of both of them. Now let's get to the elephant in the room. Let's get to the creme de la creme. And that would be the women's NCAA tournament. I'm going to be all over the place with this one, because I have to speak about the tournament. Then I have to speak on, you know, some of the controversy within the tournament. Then I got to speak on some comments that were made by Diana Taurasi when it came to Caitlin Clark and some of the girls that's going into the WNBA draft. So who knows? I might dive into a little WNBA on this as well. This might be my ladies edition episode, you could say. But congratulations are in order to the South Carolina Lady Gamecocks, because not only did they win the national championship, they also had a perfect season. That's right. Just think about this. In three years, South Carolina has only lost 3 games. Last year, they only lost one game, and that was in a regional final against Iowa. And then the year prior, when they won the national championship, they lost two games. So, and then this year, they had the perfect season. And to think that Dawn Staley and South Carolina lost all their starters last season, have a brand new lineup, bring in some amazing freshmen, and then end the season perfect and end it with the national championship. Just amazing. Just amazing. Yes, they went up against Iowa in the national title game. Me personally, when I did my bracket, I had Iowa losing in the Elite Eight. I thought they would lose in the Elite Eight to LSU. Obviously, LSU wound up losing that game. But I did have South Carolina winning the national title game. I totally forgot who I had them playing, but they wound up winning. And the Iowa-South Carolina game was amazing from beginning to end. And the reason why I say that is because Iowa came out swinging in the first few minutes. Caitlin Clark was wetting her threes. Me personally, I felt in that short span of time, this is just me, I felt that the Lady Gamecocks of South Carolina, I felt that some of them were a little too fidgety and a little rushing their shots. They were looking very shaky within those first few minutes. I said to myself, maybe the stage is too big for them. Because you got to remember, they lost all five starters last year. So now you're bringing in a whole new set of girls. They might have been on the team last year, but now the spotlight is on them. Maybe the lights is too bright for them. This is what I'm thinking. It was to the point, I believe, South Carolina was down 10-0. Now, usually in that situation, a coach will call a timeout. A coach will be quick to call a timeout. Dawn Staley didn't call no timeout. She basically was awesome. Let them figure it out. Let them figure it out. And they did. They for sure figured it out. When you have Camilla Cardoso in the paint, you gotta feed her the ball. There's no one on the opposing team that can stand next to her. She's just too tall. 6'7". Just throw her the ball. Just throw her the ball in the paint. She was the most outstanding player for the Final Four because against North Carolina State, she did the same thing. What I picked apart in this game, the national title game, what I picked apart in that national title game was this. There was two reasons on why South Carolina won that game. Two reasons. Now, obviously, the elephant in the room was the amazing defense that Raven Johnson did on Caitlin Clark. Now, granted, if you look at score, like if you look at the stat sheet, if you look at the box score, Caitlin Clark did her thing in that game. She did her thing. Okay? Let's not make it seem like she didn't. She had 30 points. She was 5 for 13 from the 3, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. But look at it like this. She was 10 for 28. So for those 30 points, you had to take 28 shots. Raven Johnson's defense had a lot to do with her being fidgety. Raven Johnson's defense had a lot to do with her being shaky when it came to shooting her shots. She was very shaky. In fact, Caitlin Clark was shaky the last two games. But I'm going to get to that soon as well. I told you I'm going to be all over the place with this one. And that South Carolina bench. That South Carolina bench is another reason why they won this game. When you have someone like Tessa Johnson come in for 25 minutes and just drains threes and then drives to the lane and makes her little floater jump shots, 19 points off the bench. Flo Wiley came in the game, made her impact that she does all season long. Even Fegan came in and did her thing. Watkins did her thing. At least her little 5 points and five rebounds. Yeah, it's a small dose, but it was effective. Even Chloe Pitts, there was a time I was mad at her in the game. Turning the ball over. Making poor decisions as it pertained to shooting. In the second half, she woke up. 11 points. 10 rebounds. She had herself a double-double. Cardoso, like I said, she did her thing. Just as a whole, every player that played in that game for South Carolina, they all did their part. Each and every one of them. They played 9 players. 9. And each one of them did what they had to do to bring that game home. Now, Raven Johnson, I definitely want to congratulate her because this is the same Raven Johnson that played South Carolina, that played against Iowa last year in the regional semifinal. And if you remember correctly, Caitlin Clark was passing her off when it came to shooting threes. She didn't even want to stick D on her. She left her open. Showing her no respect. No respect whatsoever. What did Raven Johnson do? Get better from the 3-point line. You had to defend it this time. You had to defend it this time. But for the most part, it wasn't Raven Johnson's offense that Caitlin Clark had to worry about. It was her defense that she should have worried about. Because I think it was 3 times in that game that Raven Johnson's cookies. And I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed it. Almost 20 million people watched that national title game. Almost 20 million people. Because not for nothing, there were 3 games that broke records. The national title game. UConn and Iowa in the Final Four. They broke a record too. What was it? It was another game that broke a record. And LSU and Iowa. LSU and Iowa, 12.3 million watched that game. Then UConn and Iowa had 14.2 million. And then the national title game, they peaked at 20 mil. They peaked at 20 mil, close to 20 mil, about 18 to 20 million people tuned in to watch that game. See what I've been telling y'all about women's college basketball? I've been saying this for 3 years now. I've been saying this shit for 3 years now. And again, like, what I said about this game was this. I said South Carolina, in order for them to win this game, they're going to have to do it convincingly. They cannot let this game be close because if it's close, the same fate that UConn had, they was going to have. So since I'm already speaking on it, I might as well carry on with it. UConn and Iowa in the Final Four. Hell, that game kind of looked like the national championship. Because they were going back and forth. When I talk about perfect defense on Caitlin Clark, I know she does not get all the praise that she gets at the University of UConn. Because all the attention is Paige Beckers, and rightfully so. But Nika Mule, she's no slouch from UConn. She is one of the most fearless defenders in college basketball, male or female. And the defense that she played on Caitlin Clark was amazing. Now again, Caitlin Clark got her numbers. I want to emphasize, she got her numbers. But she had to struggle to get those numbers. It wasn't a cakewalk. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a walk in the park to say. She struggled to get those numbers. And the reason being was because of that defense from Nika Mühl. Now, I'm going to just get to the elephant in the room. I'm not even going to go through the whole game. I'm just going to go to that last possession where that ref made that crazy ass call. What you want to call it? Do you want to call it a legal pick on Aaliyah Boston and call it an offensive foul? Me personally, this is not about if it was the right call or not. It's about, do you make that call in that situation? Now, me personally, UConn is down by one. For the most part, probably the last minute or two, people thought the game was probably over because Iowa was basically peaking. But turnovers and then UConn getting nice baskets and Nika Mühl turning, stealing the ball from Caitlin Clark and going down, hitting a three, making it a one-point game, all that shit. You had one possession left. We know who's getting the ball. Paige Beckers is getting the ball. And again, this is where you have two of the top basketball players in the country, male or female, going up against each other. Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers. You want the ball in your star's hand. In this possession, you know Paige is getting it. And then the ref makes that bullshit call, and Gino was furious. And he had every reason to be furious. Now, I know his press conference, you know, he gave the PC answer, you know, he gave the PC answer. Paige did the same thing, you know, being the good teammate that she is. But at the end of the day, everybody said the same shit. You do not make that call in that situation. That ref, I don't know who that ref is, but he or she stole that game from UConn. Now, me personally, did I think Paige was going to score on that possession? I don't know. But we would have loved to see it, though. We would have loved to see if she even would have had the opportunity. Because if I'm a ref in that situation, I'm swallowing my whistle. I'm not making that call in that situation, especially with that little bit of time left. We talking 7 to 0 seconds. We talking 0 to 7 seconds left in the game. I'm not making that call. I'm letting this play out. Like, fuck being the ref. I'm a fan at this point. I want to see what Paige Beckers is going to do. I want to see what she's going to do when she come around this screen. I want to see what happens. I'm swallowing my whistle. I'm not doing a damn thing. That's just me. And we got cheated. Every single person had an issue with that call. Everybody. Not one person. Now, of course, you're going to have those that say, oh, but she did, though. But she did, though. What's the problem? That just tells me y'all ain't never played basketball before. Because it's, for me, it's just certain situations where you don't make that call. And in that situation, you do not make that call. You don't. You don't make that call. Now, early in the game, by all means, blow your whistle. Like, too short. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle. But in that situation, you do not blow your whistle. And not for nothing, some calls in that game were very, very debatable. Hell, there was one play where an Iowa player drove to the lane and they caught the foul. And when they showed the instant replay, the player wasn't fouled at all. It wasn't fouled at all. Now, and again, I said this when I was watching the game. Because I was going live, you know, at halftime and whatnot. And I said, if UConn wants to win this game, they are going to have to win it convincingly. Because not for nothing, they had the momentum most of the game. The Lady Huskies had the momentum most of the game. Turning the ball over, making bad decisions as far as taking jump shots, you let Iowa back in the game. Again, Nick Amule did an amazing job on Caitlin Clark. I think Caitlin Clark probably only had 2 full points that first half. No, she had more, but they weren't three-pointers. She struggled from the three-point line. I don't think she made a three-pointer the whole first half. Then the second half, I think she made about 3 or 4, whatever. But the point is that UConn had the momentum. It wasn't towards the end of the second half. I mean, towards the end of the third quarter, going into the fourth, where UConn, I don't know what it was. So, I mean, listen. I know Geno wanted to say the right thing. I know he didn't want to put the blame on the ref. But us fans that watched that game, I don't care about what I just said about how UConn had the momentum and yada, yada, yada. I don't care about none of that shit. At the end of the day, that ref should have not made that call. Simple and plain. I'm going to keep saying that shit. The ref should have not made that call. I'm sorry. Because again, we want to see what Paige was going to do. We want to see what she was going to do. And we got stripped of that. We got stripped of that. But I will say this, though. The whole tournament was amazing. The whole tournament was nothing but amazing. We seen these women show out. You hear what I'm saying to you? We watched them show out the whole tournament. And it wasn't just, you know, just those teams. I mean, again, I didn't even get into the LSU-Iowa game. The rematch from the national title game. But let's just say that Iowa got their revenge. And Caitlin Clark lit them up like a Christmas tree. I don't know what they were thinking by putting Haley Van Leaf on Caitlin Clark because she was too short. Caitlin Clark was just draining threes in that game. And, yeah. A lot of records were broken. A lot of records were broken. And I'm very proud of the people that chose to watch women's college basketball and at least give it a chance. And everybody is saying the same thing. They enjoyed it more than the men. This is something I've been saying for the past 3 years. I just wish people would listen. I wish people would listen to your boy more often because I've been saying it for the past 3 years. But let me get to Angel Reese. After that Iowa loss, she went to the podium and was very emotional. And I definitely want to salute Haley Van Leaf and Flo J Johnson for being there for their teammate. I do sympathize with Angel Reese. I do sympathize with her. At the end of the day, she's still young. I think 20 years old, if that, probably 20, 21 years old. So I do sympathize with her. You definitely don't want players getting death threats. Gabby Marshall was getting that as well, the little guard from Iowa. She was getting death threats after that call was made with the ref. She shouldn't be receiving death threats. She wasn't the one that made the call. I'm not even saying that the ref should have got death threats, but it's just the game at the end of the day. For people to be sending letters and death threats to people is totally unnecessary. She had to deactivate all her social media accounts because she was getting death threats. That shit is unnecessary, man. It's just unnecessary all across the board. To Angel Reese, you know, She basically was like that, how I'm just basically paraphrasing. Her life has basically been on a roller coaster ever since she won the national championship last year. She's been villainized, she's been sexualized, all these things, right? Gets on a podium and cries. Now, I am not gonna sit here and say they were crocodile tears, because they weren't. I felt for her. I really did. And the first thing that came to mind was, this is just my opinion. I'm not even gonna get into what Emmanuel Acho said on his show Speak. I'm only giving my assumption. Would she had did this had they lost? I mean, had they won? If they would have won that game against Iowa and made the Final Four and won the whole national championship, let's say they would have turned the tables and went back to back, would she have made that statement? Would she have been on that podium crying? I doubt it. But see, my whole thing is this, and I hate to be that person, but Andrew Reese, some of this you put on yourself. Some of this you put on yourself. The whole villainized thing, you claimed that role. You claimed it. You didn't have to claim it. It's clips of you saying, well, people want us to be the villain, we'll be the villains. So once you said that, you allowed that energy to come. You allowed people to deem y'all in wrestling terms as a heel. You allowed people to do that. You said you've been sexualized. I could believe that as well. You put that on yourself. Why? I follow you on social media. And there have been plenty of pictures that you've put in bathing suits, showing your stomach, showing your legs, showing your thighs. Basically, like you go into a photo shoot and you got on lingerie, basically. In a bathing suit slash lingerie. This is what we see on your page. Everybody is not doing that. Caitlin Clark's not doing that. Paige Beckers is not doing that. Hannah Hidalgo is not doing that. Juju Watkins is not doing that. But you are. So how did you exp so what did you expect was going to happen when you put pictures like that out? You're going to have these people on social media have a fetish for you, whether they're your age or probably even my age. This is what people are going to do when you put pictures like that on your page. It's that simple. There was a game against South Carolina, not South Carolina, UCLA, where at the end of the game, when y'all congratulated, you told the opposing coach on the other team, watch your mouth. It's recorded. Like this is not a rumor that you said it. There's actual footage of you saying that. You told a coach, an adult coach, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Now, me personally, I love your style of basketball. I love it. I love it. And I think that's what made, I honestly think that's what made women's college basketball even more fun, because they were able to express themselves. When she score a basket and she do the, oh, they too little. I enjoy shit like that. The emotion on the court, I love it, because guess what? When the guys do it, we okay with it. So if they could do it, the women could do it too. But you can't play this victim role when some of this shit you allow, like that you enabled yourself to do. We just can't do that. We can't. Now, me and my honest opinion, I think had they won the national championship, I don't think she would have did that. I don't. I honestly don't. And I love Angel Reese, so do not get me wrong. I love Angel Reese. She is one of my favorite players in the country on the college side. But I gotta call a spade a spade. I have to call a spade a spade. I can't sit here and defend everything that she's done just because she's young and she's a black woman. I can't do that. I got to call a spade a spade. So some of the stuff that she was crying about, she put on herself. Now, I love the stuff that she does behind the scenes. She hooks her teammates up with, you know, stuff. You know, she hooked her teammates up with gifts. She even hooked up the male LSU team. I don't know if it was sneakers or headphones. She does a lot for her community. She does a lot for women's college basketball. And I support that. And I'm proud of her. But we got to call a spade a spade. We've got to call a spade a spade. We just got to. We've got to. We can't sit here and defend everything that she does because guess what? It's going to enable her to think that she's Teflon Angel and can't nothing be said about her. It don't work that way. It just does not work that way. It just does not work that way. It does not work that way. I'm sorry. But I will say this, though. I definitely will say this, though. I'm very much proud of her. I'm very much proud of her. Because even through all of that, she's still trying to get better as a player. Because she does have some flaws in her game. And in that Elite Eight matchup with Iowa, it was shown. When she announced probably 2 days afterwards that she was going to the WNBA draft, because we didn't know what she was going to do. When she decided that she was going to go, we seen videos of her in the gym working on that jump shot. Because that's what she's going to need. To get to that, to get to that level now, that jump shot you're going to need, girl. You're going to need it. And she's working on it now. And I couldn't be more proud of her. I couldn't be more proud of her. But again, there were some other players in this tournament that played amazing. Played amazing. Juju Watkins had an amazing tournament. Amazing tournament. Now, she struggled in that elite. Now, she struggled in that Elite Eight game with UConn. But she had a great tournament across the board. Her time is coming. And now that Caitlin Clark is going to the WNBA, it just might be her time in college basketball. It just might be her time. It just might. Who knows? Maybe she might break Caitlin Clark's record if she stays all 4 years. Because Juju got the skills to where she can go to the WNBA after 3 years. I mean, McCandice left after 3 years. Got a degree and left after 3 years. Juju could probably do the same thing. If she obtains a national championship, who's to say she can't do it? Hannah Hidalgo had a great tournament. Unfortunately, Notre Dame got bounced earlier than I thought because I initially thought that Notre Dame would go up against South Carolina in the Elite Eight in that region. I did not think it would be North Carolina State. Well, no, not North Carolina State. I did not think that. I forgot exactly who South Carolina played in the Elite Eight, but listen, at the end of the day, I thought it would definitely be Notre Dame. You know, just an amazing tournament across the board. Again, I've said this for three years that women's college basketball has taken over. I have said it for 3 years, and this year was the best year of them all. And I couldn't be more proud of these girls. I could not be more proud of these girls and what they've done. I just can't. I just can't. Every post, every post, I always write at the end, give it up for the ladies. And I'm glad that they are now getting their just due. I am very happy that they are getting their just due. Stanford coach, Tara Vanderdeer, she has announced that she's retiring from coaching. She is the winningest coach in college basketball. There was a time it was Coach K, but now she has that title. I believe she has 3 national titles at Stanford. I believe she has 3. I believe her last one was it 2021? Or was it 2022? I'm trying to think. I think 2021, I think. I forgot what year it was. They won a national championship. Because South Carolina won in 2022. LSU won in 2023. Yeah, 2021. But me personally, when you think of the great coaches in college basketball, at least on the women's side, like the question now is, who's on the Mount Rushmore of women college basketball? Obviously, Geno and Pat Summitt, those two names are on there. Right? Then we get to the other two. And unfortunately, the Mount Rushmore only has 4 heads. It's not 5. So for me, the last two would be Tara Vanderdeer and Dawn Staley. That's my 4. Kim Mulkey could peek her head in there somewhere, but that's my 4. Geno, the late great Pat Summitt, Tara Vanderdeer, and Dawn Staley. That's my 4. But again, this tournament was amazing. I look forward to what happens next season after college basketball, after Caitlin Clark is now gone to the WNBA. And I definitely want to salute Dawn Staley, because even her winning the national championship and them beating Iowa, she gave Caitlin Clark her flowers. Because, listen, at the end of the day, even though there were so many other pieces to why women's college basketball has been a success these past few years, especially this year, but the creme de la creme, the cream of the crop, was that girl from Iowa, number 22, and that was Caitlin Clark. No denying it. No denying it. Now, see, it's been a lot of controversy when it comes around Caitlin Clark. Obviously, the whole, does she have the record? Does she not have the record? Listen, she got the record, all right? Lynette Woodard, I think that's her name, with all due respect, your record is at a different, is at a different, I guess you could say, you got NCAA and then the league that she was in. She holds the NCAA women's college record. Well, basketball record, scoring record, NCAA record. And that's what they keep talking about. NCAA. They're not saying overall, they're saying NCAA record. Okay? So respectfully, yes, you have the record. But they keep saying, and they always emphasize NCAA scoring record. Now you got Diana Taurasi, one of the GOATs of WNBA. You know, I think the last 2 or 3 years, her and Sue Bird have had their own special on ESPN. during the Final Four and the national championship game. And she caused a lot of controversy as it pertains to what she said about what these girls should be in store for when they come to the WNBA. And she basically was on some reality is coming. I'm not sure if it was just signaled for Caitlin Clark. Maybe it was just, you know, maybe it was. Like, I don't know if it was directed literally towards Caitlin Clark. It could be to all of them for that matter. But at the end of the day, it did cause some controversy. You had a lot of people saying, oh, she's bitter, she's hating, yada, yada, yada. Me, personally, I wouldn't view it as hating. Because at the end of the day, Diana Taurasi is who she is. She's a three-time champion in the WNBA, three-time champion in college, one of the GOATs of women's basketball. What the hell she need to hate for? But then you got those that say, oh, she's mad because her time is up. And now this young blood is coming into the league. Young bloods are coming into this league. Because I don't want to make it seem like she was just getting that Caitlin. But at the end of the day, it ruffled a lot of people's feathers. You had a lot of people hating. I will say this, though. Do I believe that Diana Taurasi has a point? Absolutely, I do. Absolutely, I do. I do believe that some of these girls will get growing pains when they go into the WNBA. They're not going to dominate the way they did in college. It's just not going to happen. Now, some is going to do their thing, and then there's going to be some that struggle. There's a lot of girls that are declaring for the WNBA draft. I know this from off experience from last year. Some of these girls that get drafted are probably not going to make the team. Probably not. It was a lot of girls that declared for the draft last year. They didn't make the team. They didn't make the final cut. They got drafted, but they didn't make the team. It was a lot of girls. A lot. And who's to say that won't be the case in this draft? Who's to say? Now, obviously, the usual suspects, like the top picks, when they get drafted, oh no, they ain't got nothing to worry about. Their spot is going to be solidified. But who's to say that those second round picks or late first round going into second round picks, who's to say that they get drafted and then before the season started, they get released? Because you got to cut your team down to a certain roster number. Who's to say? We don't know. So I do believe what she said. Yeah, it's gonna be some growing pains. It is. It happens in every sport. When you leave college to go to the pros, those numbers that you put up in college, you ain't gonna put them shits up in the pros. You just not. You could still be great, but you just won't be putting up those crazy numbers. Do I believe Caitlin Clark is going to the WNBA to average 30 points? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No way in hell. Because now, like Diana Taurasi said, you know, you look like a superhuman when you're playing up against 18 and 19 year olds, but now you're going up against full-fledged grown women. And believe me, those last two games against South Carolina and UConn, the defense that was played on Caitlin Clark, courtesy of Nika Mule and Raven Johnson, I can guarantee you this. I'm quite sure that every woman in the WNBA, the majority of them, tuned into that game and they watched her get defended. Either they watched it live or they went and they checked the game tapes. And they are ready for her to come to the WNBA. Because I'm quite sure a lot of them are tired of this hype. Which I don't think they should be tired of it, because at the end of the day, the hype that she's bringing to the league benefits y'all. That's why I don't understand the hate. Because what she's bringing to this league, it helps y'all as well. Just think about this. And I did this in a YouTube video, the Caitlin Clark effect. I told y'all I was going to be all over the place with this joint. I'm trying to keep it a little over an hour. I'm on 50 minutes now. I'm trying to do another 10 minutes of this shit. You have 12 teams in the WNBA. And six of them play in NBA arenas. The other six don't play in NBA arenas. You have the Indiana Fever. Obviously, they play in the NBA arena. And obviously, that will be the team that Caitlin Clark goes to. You got the New York Liberty. Obviously, they play in the NBA arena. They play in Barclays. You got the LA Sparks. You got the Minnesota Lynx. You had the Phoenix Mercury. And I think you had the Seattle Storm. All six of those teams play in arenas that generate close to 20,000 fans. Then you have the other six teams who play in arenas that's less than, what, 11,000 fans? Hell, I think it was two arenas that I saw. I think it was the Atlanta Dream and the Washington Mystics. I think the arenas that they play in, they only generate close to 5,000 fans. Now, guess what? With Caitlin Clark coming to the WNBA, those arenas that I just told you that have a less capacity of fans, they might have to take their games and move them to NBA arenas just because Caitlin Clark is selling out everywhere she goes. Listen, I tried to get tickets for the season opener against the Liberty. And I wish I would have did this shit before she announced. But again, we didn't know. Like, she prolonged the decision. We didn't know what decision she was going to make. Before she decided, tickets was $30-something dollars. The cheapest ticket was $30 to get into Barclays for the Liberty Fever season opener. When she announced that she was going to the WNBA, obviously we know who's going to be the number one pick. Them tickets now are $100-something dollars. It's going to be hard to, if you didn't get your tickets already, it's going to be hard getting them tickets now. You might be able to get a ticket, but where you sitting at may not be too pleasant. And that's the Caitlin Clark effect. She has done that this season for the WNBA. Vegas. This is the reigning defending champs. They play in an arena that it's a small venue. They already announced the game that Caitlin Clark plays them in Indiana, plays them in July. I think it's July 2nd. They're going to have to move that game to the T-Mobile Arena. That's the same arena where they have the Pac-12 tournament for college basketball, at least for the men. They have boxing matches there on occasions. When they don't do it at the MGM, they do it in the T-Mobile Arena. And then that's where the hockey team play. The NHL team. That arena generates almost 20,000 fans. This is the Caitlin Clark effect. So again, the hate that she's getting, I don't understand where it comes from. Because the hype that she brings to the league, it helps y'all. It helps y'all. It gives y'all that exposure. So I don't understand the hate. I honestly don't. But see, it's not just her. It's not just, I mean, yes, she is the forefront. But there's so many other players that are going to make noise in the WNBA. Obviously, we know she's going number one. Obviously, we know she's going number one. Me and my honest opinion, we know Cameron Brink is going number two. The draft starts at the number three pick. That's when the draft starts. Because we know Caitlin's going number one. We know Cameron Brink's going number two. The 2024 WNBA draft officially starts for pick three with the Chicago Sky. And depending on who they take, that's when the draft starts. And again, this is just me. This is my honest opinion. This is not me reading somebody's mock draft or nothing like that. This is Dre Day's opinion. I'm only speaking of my top five picks. If I'm the Los Angeles Sparks, because they got two picks in the top five. If I'm the Los Angeles Sparks, obviously I'm taking Cameron Brink at number two. And then when I get that fourth pick, I'm picking up Angel Reese. Now, I know some people have her in the low top 10. Angel Reese is a top five pick. If we're going off of skill and hype, because you gotta think of the hype factor too. I know a lot of people don't want to think that, but you have to in this situation. The Sparks have a lot of history. A lot of history. Three-time WNBA champions. Plenty of greats have played there. I can name you three in particular. Lisa Leslie, Candace Parker, Nneka Nwumike. Those are probably that's the big three when it comes to greats that play for the Los Angeles Sparks. You now need to find another person. Now you're gonna get Cameron Brink at number. You're gonna get Cameron Brink at number two. But you also need somebody else that might help put asses in those seats. Do I believe Cameron Brink can do that by herself? Absolutely not. She's gonna need somebody else. And being that you got two picks in the top four, you gotta get Angel Reese because she will definitely help put booties in those seats because of her star power. So you gotta get her at number four. You gotta get her at number four. And for me, I think with the third pick, I think Chicago should go after Cardoso from South Carolina. Because I think Chicago, listen, they're going to be some shit. And now that Teaspoon coaching them, yeah, they're going to be on some shit. Listen, I'm very much excited for the WNBA draft. I'm very much excited. And it goes down April 15th, which is this upcoming Monday. I'm not sure if it's 7 or 8 o'clock, but yeah. And it's in my city, New York. It's going to be at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Nice venue. I've probably been there twice. So it's going to be a dope experience for these ladies. They have decided to take their talents from college to the pros, and I can't wait. I cannot wait. I'm very much excited to see what they do. I am very much excited. But I'm very proud of them, and salute to all the ladies. But before I go, I have to give a shout out. And this shout out is a collective. This shout out goes to three women. Well, probably five women, but primarily three, because they did an amazing job covering women's college basketball this whole tournament. That will be Elle Duncan, Andrea Carter, and Shania Nwumike. I got to shout them out. The job that they displayed covering women's college basketball. I'm talking about before the game, halftime, end of the game. They did it. They bodied that shit. They killed it. Like, if you could get a raise for this, they deserve it. All three of them. I'm going to give a shout out to Carolyn Peck as well, because she helped out with the Final Four. And I think she color commentated some of the tournament games as well. And then Aaliyah Boston, she showed up, I think, in the national title game and did some sideline reporting with Holly Rowe. Did an amazing job. But the first three names I said, because they was consistent the whole tournament. They was in full gear in business the whole tournament. L. Duncan, Andrea Carter, and Shania Wumake, they did an amazing job. So I got to shout them out. I have got to shout them out before I wrap this episode up. And with that being said, it is definitely a wrap for this episode. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. You can find this episode or just find my podcast in general on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music. Those are the platforms that you can find your boy on. You can find me on Facebook, Dre Day. You can find me on Instagram, Dre Day 1985, or Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. The link is in the bio. And you can also catch me on X, Dre Day 1985. So once again, thank you for your continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Episode 327 is done. Catch y'all on the flip side. Have a blessed weekend. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace.